The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands, and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas. "Put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand. Put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked and the disciples saw, but they are not recorded in this book. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord. The opening passage of that Gospel reading is a very telling statement. Just look at it again. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Fear. Fear is a dreadful and a negative thing. I looked it up in the dictionary, and in my dictionary it is defined as be afraid of, hesitate to do, shrink from doing. It causes us, as it were, to seize up. The disciples of Jesus had had a nasty experience. Their master had been betrayed, falsely accused, unjustly tried, condemned to death, beaten, abused, and finally put through a cruel and lingering death in the full glare of the public gaze. They had retreated. They had run away, not knowing what to do or what to think. They were bewildered. They were confused. Then some of the women came and told them that they had gone to the grave early in the morning, only to find that the body of Jesus had mysteriously disappeared. And to add to the confusion, Mary of Magdala claimed that she had seen and spoken to Jesus. So when you think about it, their general state of mind must have been total turmoil. What on earth were they to think? One thing is for sure. This whole sequence of events had shaken them to the very core of their being. And now, in that state of shock, confusion and fear took hold. Fear, that dreadful feeling that comes upon us, has the effect of paralyzing and blacking out everything that's good. That dictionary definition is absolutely right. Be afraid of, hesitate to do, shrink from doing. They were no longer able to do anything other than hide behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. These were the men who had seen Jesus cure the sick, cast out demons, calm the storm, feed the 5,000, walk on the water, and all the other things he did. They'd even heard his words concerning what he was to go through, that he would rise again on the third day. But all of that was blotted out by fear. All remembrance of the power of Jesus, all knowledge of who he was, vanished in a puff of smoke, because fear had got the upper hand. And having got them in its grasp, it stopped them dead, leaving them trembling, hiding. In the first letter of St. John, we read this: "In love, there is no room for fear, but perfect love drives out fear." It is clear then that these followers of Jesus, whatever they had been taught about love by Jesus, had yet to learn the truth of what he'd said. For the moment, fear had done the driving out of all that was good, true, and positive in their lives. It had left them totally broken. But then we read the next bit. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The most wonderful thing to note here is the immediacy of the effect that that had on those disciples. There was no delay. There was no moment of uncertainty. There was no hesitation. We read, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. What a total transformation in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Fear may have had a negative effect on their lives for a time, momentarily may have blotted out all that was good, but the sight of the Lord Jesus drove that fear out in an instant, bang. Bringing to mind that passage in St. John's letter, "In love, there is no room for fear, but perfect love drives out fear." The love of the Lord filled them in that moment, and literally no room was left for anything else, least of all fear. Ah, you say to me, all very well for them. Jesus came and stood among them. They saw him. They touched him. It's not so easy for us when we're afraid. Well, I agree with you entirely, if that's what you're thinking, because fear can sometimes get us into its grip for whatever reason. It may be a serious illness or the loss of a loved one or some other catastrophe in life, and everything looks black and hopeless. But then we remember those words addressed by Jesus to Thomas. "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." We can take tremendous comfort from those words, having seen how the disciples who had been gripped and paralyzed by fear were suddenly filled with joy. We then read that the joy will be even greater for those who have never seen the Lord, yet still believe in him and in his promises. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that's you and me. The important word here, of course, is that last one, believe. The minute our belief is tinged with doubt, the fear that is lurking in the background, looking for its chance, looking for a way in, will take that opportunity. And so the creeping paralysis of fear can then find its way into our lives. And if that fear is allied to doubt, it is not long before we find ourselves in a similar position to those frightened disciples, shivering, trembling behind closed doors, unable to face the world or to do anything constructive. In a sense, we have to be even stronger than they were, we who have not actually seen the Lord Jesus, but we hold on nevertheless with a tenacious grip to his words and to his promises, and we allow his love to flood into our lives. But we have to do the allowing. We have to open the doors of our hearts and invite him and his love in. The love which has the power to drive out fear, to drive out all that is negative and black and dismal, and give us the strength and the ability to work as his disciples in the world of today. Not always an easy or a nice place to be, the world of today. But happy are those who have not seen and yet believe.